Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, all praises for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find ourselves entering the second third of this blessed month of Ramadan. We find ourselves on the second Friday of this blessed month. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from all of you, to accept from all of us, our fasts, our prayers, our charities, and our tiredness. Your tiredness is worship. Your exhaustion when you drive your children to school because you couldn't sleep because of your Taraweeh prayer, that's all part of your offering. That's all part of your sacrifice in this month. And so in this month, we offer ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask Him to accept us. This month, in the Holy Quran, is simultaneously the month of fasting and the month of the Quran. Why so? Why did Allah choose the month of fasting, which He said is an instruction He gave to all communities or communities before us because it leads to taqwa? He said the month of fasting, He chose that it should be the month in which the Holy Quran was revealed. Why is that? This is a month in which we're celebrating the revelation of the book. We celebrate revelation through fasting because it's in fasting that we approximate to how the book came. Because the goal of this month is to allow the book to reveal into your own heart. Is that possible? Yes, it is possible. This Quran is the eternal speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will speak to hearts until the end of time. Those hearts just have to turn to Allah and be ready to receive His speech. These words are eternal in their meaning, and they are everlasting in their benefit. And there's no heart in no time and in any place except this book will guide that heart. But is that heart prepared? How was the first heart prepared of our Prophet? God bless him and give him peace, infinitely and perpetually and forever, with every heart and every breath and with every heartbeat. May the blessings of Allah be upon him. How was his heart prepared? For when this event happened in the month of Ramadan, he was going away from his family and he was going to the cave. And he was diminishing in socializing, and he was diminishing from food, and he was focusing on Allah. That is the state that began this revelation. So we are approximating, we are making our hearts mirrors or shadows of his blessed heart, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so we can experience the book and Allah speaking to us through the book. And there's no greater mystery and wonder, and there's no higher spiritual ecstasy that you feel that your Lord is speaking to you through His speech. And we can all feel that. And that's what this month is about. And before him, our master Moses, may Allah be pleased with him, may the blessings and peace of Allah be upon him, he also didn't receive the Torah until he went away from his people. And he went to the mountain. And he observed 40 days of worship and discipline. And our ulama say, and of fasting. And so fasting is the condition. Fasting is what it takes, because you have to go higher. You have to think more than just your body, and you have to think more than just your strength. That's why the weakness of this month is the worship. Your exhaustion is the worship. Your tiredness, it is the worship. That's what you're offering. Because when you feel a bit weak, or you feel a bit tired, and you're feeling a bit hungry, and you're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the beginning it might be headaches, in the beginning it might be exhaustion, but then you go to your prayers day after day, night after night, and you feel a softening. That's what this is all about. But this experience of fasting for the sake of Allah, approaching His book, and so everybody here should do something to take their journey with the Quran to the next level. Whether it's studying it in translation, whether it's studying the Arabic, whether it's learning how to read the script, whether it's memorizing what you've not memorized, take your next step. Take it and it will be the best thing you've ever done in your life. That's what this month is about. But this month has a mark. The mark that it's working. What's the mark that the fasting is happening and the Quran has touched your heart? What's the sign? There's only one sign. There's only one mark. And that mark is giving. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he says that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most generous of all people, but he was especially so in the month of Ramadan. And Sayyidina Ibn Abbas said it was because it was in this month that he was reviewing the Quran with the angel Gabriel, alayhi salatu wasalam. And so Ibn Abbas said, so in this month of Quranic study, in this month of Quranic review, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was more generous than the fast flowing wind. Nothing could stop it. It reaches everything. And so Ibn Abbas tied it very clearly. The mark of the Quran touching the heart in this month is giving. Giving, giving, giving. That's the name of this month. Why is the Quran the unleasher of giving? Why is that the case? What is it that holds people back from giving? What holds people back from giving is some kind of fear. And so this is the book of courage, and this is the month of courage. Fear of what? Maybe it's fear of what you could have, what you're going to miss out on. You're saving out for your second car. Or maybe you are saving for something more serious. And so the Quran comes to unleash your hand. It's saying, it's okay. I have you. I'll catch you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. The Quran gives perspective. Perspective loosens the hand. Because when you're scared, you hold tight. And when you're calm, you relax. The Quran calms you. The Quran gives you a perspective you can't see. That's why you'll see even today our brothers and sisters in the greatest of difficulty in the Holy Land, but their faith gives them a strength, gives them the ability to smile when no one can imagine how are they smiling. It's because they are the people of the Quran, and the Quran allows you to relax. It allows you to let go because you see further. You see further than your moment. You see a hand of kindness behind every other hand that might not be the pleasant one in front of you. And you see your eternal journey, and you realize it's not all that important, because when you zoom out, the details don't become all that important anymore. This is the book that gives perspective. Allah says, what's with you will vanish. What's with Allah will remain. So why don't you choose something which remains? And sometimes it's fear of being poor. And Allah says, أَشَيْطَانُ يَعَدُكُمُ الْفَقْرَ وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَاللَّهُ يَعَدُكُمْ مَغْفِرَةً مِّنْهُ وَفَضْلًا وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. The devil will keep telling you, you're going to get poor, you're going to get poor, you're going to get poor. And he urges you to do vile things just so you can get some money. And Allah says, no, but what Allah promises is a vast forgiveness and lots of bounty. The book of Allah is the book of saying, you will have. It's a book of feeling rich. It's the book of feeling not poor. It's the book of feeling I have plenty because Allah is with me. And with that, your hand releases. One of the words for spending in the Holy Quran most frequently used is infaq. Infaq means to spend. How frequently we're told, anfiqu, spend of what we've given you. Infaq in Arabic comes from nafaq. And nafaq is to dig a tunnel into the earth. And so the whole journey of religion, all of it, the whole journey of spirituality, all of it, the whole journey of self-improvement or realization or whatever you will, it's nothing but a journey in giving. There's nothing else in life. It's nothing but a journey in giving. All you're doing through your life as you deepen your understanding of the Quran and you deepen your following of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you're just digging deeper through these fears, the fears that hold you back from giving. And giving is not just the giving of money. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us that smiling is giving, helping someone carry a good is giving, and there's giving in encouraging someone to do something good. There's giving when you remind someone not to do something bad. There's giving in every, he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fi kulli kabidin ratbin sadaqa. In every moist liver, there's an act of giving. Give to any animal. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a lady was forgiven and her life transformed when she gave a dog a drink from her shoe. So this book is about giving in everything you've been given. It's not just about money. And there are other fears that hold us back from giving. And so you just dig deeper through your journey in the Quran. That's what infaq is. You keep digging deeper in what and what's holding you back. And among them are fear of people. And the Quran keeps reminding us that people won't benefit you on Judgment Day. And the Quran reminds us, come to life. Come to the real life. Istajibu lillahi wa lirrasooli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. Answer the call of Allah and His Messenger when He calls to that which gives you life. Come to the good life. لَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. If you want a really wholesome life here, come on the journey of giving. Come. The Quran is your guide. That's what this month is about. And as you dig through the fear of people, it's a journey of courage. And there's no greater book of courage than the Holy Quran. كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. How often the Quran reminds us, a small group can overcome a big group. How often this has happened, and how often it will keep happening. It's the book that says, don't worry about the people. If your generosity of giving is to represent the oppressed, to speak in their name, to wave their flag, or to stand for their cause, this is your giving. And that's what this is the month of. And whatever is holding you back, the book will speak. If you can speak on behalf of the oppressed, if you can speak on behalf of what people need to hear, this is the courage of giving. And we should support whoever is giving. And if all you can do for those who are suffering is you give your tears, this is giving. Because in that moment, you stop thinking about yourself. And you started thinking about the hunger of those who are hungry. May Allah give all of them food and drink and relieve all of their burdens and give them safety after this great difficulty. This moment of is you're giving your heart, you're giving your intention, you're giving your tears. Give. Therefore, there's no moment when there cannot be an act of giving. Let's dig deeper still. Why this impetus for giving? Why is religion all about giving? Because you go to the core of the matter. And what's the core of the matter? Where did you come from? Who gave you your breaths? Who gave you the beating of your hearts? Who gave you your intelligence? Who gave you your spirit? Who gave you anything? What are you without that act of giving? You are nothing. So your existence is an act of giving. And it's the giving of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-maddatu min ayn al-jood. As a Shaykh Abu Madian said, everything is just an act of generosity. This whole experience is nothing but an act of giving. And it's the giving of Ar-Rahman. Allah's name Ar-Rahman, which is His most particular name after the name Allah, is the one whose giving and kindness covers every single thing. Whether you think it deserves it or not, the Rahman treats it as if it deserves it, and He gives to everything. What does this moment of giving lead to? It's the most basic realization in religion. It's the most basic starting point. It's the seed of faith, is to realizing that I belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so I owe Him everything. And so my whole life is just giving back to Allah what's His. Anyone who feels that they have the right to forget the one who's given to them, to ignore the one who gave them their heart, to completely turn away from the one who gave them their hands and their breaths, this is the most vile of behaviors. That's why the unbeliever was called the kafir, because kafir means the ungrateful one. Belief starts from gratitude. Gratitude is giving. It's realizing, oh Allah, I'm yours. What do you want from me? That's it. Whatever you want, I'll do it. That's giving. Giving of your strength. Giving of whatever He wants you to give Him, because you owe it to Him. And so all of religion is giving. Your dhikr of Allah, that's what the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, La ilaha illallah is sadaqah. Saying, Allahu Akbar is sadaqah. If you want to give and you're alone and there's nobody there, your greatest giving happens in that moment. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the seven people who are shaded by the throne of Allah, when there's no shade but the shade of Allah's throne, is the person who's alone and there's nobody there. And he remembers Allah, and his eyes start flowing with tears. That's a giving. Giving back to Allah. Because you, in that moment, you weren't thinking about yourself. And you weren't thinking about your wealth. And you weren't being proud of what you were. You gave your attention back. And that's the core of every good. And that's the meaning of La ilaha illallah. And this journey of giving with Allah. So all giving is just giving to Allah. Anyone you ever give to, you're actually giving to Allah. That's why the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every charity falls in the hand of Ar-Rahman before it falls into anyone else's hand. Your only real mu'amala or dealing is with the one who gave it to you. This journey of giving to Allah is not just a journey of debt, burdenness, like you're a wage slave. That's not how Allah treats you. It's a journey of incredible kindness. Because Allah's promised, when you give to Him, He'll give you more. It's as simple as that. That's why charity, Allah calls it qard hasan, a nice loan. Because it says, whatever you give me, I'm going to give it back to you. You're never going to lose with me. That's why the Holy Quran unleashes such comfortable giving, because it's only going to come back to you. If you give your knowledge, you grow more knowledgeable. If you give your time, you give your generosity, you only find comfort in life. You give your wealth, Allah says, I will give you more wealth. How many a person was struggling to make ends meet? They had a child, another mouth to feed, and suddenly they got a new job and all wonderful things came into their life. When you give, Allah looks after you. And so it's a beautiful journey of giving to Allah, where you're only giving to yourself and you're only being grateful to Him. Any act of love you show Him, He will only love you more. You will never out-love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will never out-give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will never out-kind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Kareemu la tatakhattahu al-amal. There's no wish you have that the generous one will not cover for you. But Allah has willed that His kindness to you comes through people. And so part of the debt of gratitude we owe to Allah through giving is the debt we owe to people. That's why Allah has willed we don't come into this earth except through the sacrifice of two people, which is our parents. And Allah's made parents the most symbolic, if you like, sign of Allah in your own life. That's why we were told you will never be able to repay your mother. Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he saw a Yemeni man carrying his mother on his back doing the tawaf. And he said to Ibn Umar, have I paid back my mother? And Ibn Umar said, not even one pang of pregnancy have you paid back. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed that we would have needs and we to each other, so kindness becomes a means of care. And it starts with parents. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you will never repay your debt to your father unless you find him a slave and you free him. Because your father is your means to finding opportunity. And so those who don't have fathers, we were told to step in and be a community for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the womb. He said to the womb, I derived your name from my name. Because He is Rahman and the womb is Rahim. And He said, whoever connects you, I will connect. Whoever cuts you, I will cut. So part of the giving to Allah, part of the gratitude for being in life, is honoring the ties Allah has willed to exist between us. Whoever turns away from these ties has turned away from themselves. And of the most sacred of ties is the tie of Ummah. What's the tie of Ummah? It's a sacred tie that gets created between every two human beings who say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This tie is of the most sacred of ties. And we have been told to honor this tie. The whole Sharia of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is to honor this tie. Because why? If we honor the tie of Ummah, and what we are really doing is, we are protecting our own iman. Because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Inna shaytana lama'al wahid wa huwa min al-ithnaini ab'ad. When a person is by themselves, the devil is with that person. When there are two people, the devil is further away. So he instructed us, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that of the best acts of giving is the giving to Ummah, is spending time with those who believe in Allah and His Messenger, building those ties in these masajid, building those ties in whatever you can, because it's only together that we can fulfill the mission of our Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's only together that we will remind each other and strengthen each other and guide each other on our journey of iman. And the most basic duty of care in the ummah is called zakat. Zakat is one of the duties of giving. It's one of the pillars of Islam. And it is the haqq of the believer. Zakat is paid to Muslims. And if anyone here has more than a nisab, if you calculate that on silver, it's about £400 of gold plus silver, plus money, plus trade items, when you add these up, and it's more than a nisab, after the passage of a year, the ummah has a right on your money. The poor of the ummah have a right on your money. If you don't give them that right, you are as if you're stealing money from someone. Zakat means purification. You purify yourself by caring for the needy of the ummah. And so zakat is that care. Zakat builds ummah. That's why the sunnah of zakat, as all of our ulama mentioned, is to actually pay it within your city, is to pay it in your masajid, is to see if somebody here is in a need and somebody here has money, then it's a shameful thing. We pray together and we aren't there for each other's need. That's not what the giving of our Prophet was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Zakat is to build real ummah. Wherever there are believers, there should be salat and zakat. And wherever there is salat and zakat, there will be a strong ummah. Wherever there is a strong ummah, there will be a strong iman. Iman means to enter safety. And the safety in this life is in the comfort of ummah. And so all of this journey, from the beginning of the journey of the Quran, and all of the sharia, and all of this giving is a journey in giving. Zakat has rules. It's an obligatory piece of knowledge for everyone here. If you do not know how to calculate and pay zakat, you have to learn it. There will be a workshop in this masjid after Asr on how to calculate and pay zakat, delivered by National Zakat Foundation. You're all invited to attend, and you, especially if you don't know these rules. When you go through this journey of iman, the last thing I'll say is you realize one thing. Who do you owe everything to? Of everything I've been saying right now, we're talking about debts of gratitude and the duty to give and the courage to give. Who do you owe all of this gratitude to? We talked about Allah. You have to talk about the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He showed us how to remember Allah. He taught us the Quran. He told us about the zakat. He gave us the comfort of this ummah so we could worship him together. He told us how to champion the cause of the oppressed. He told us that smiling is sadaqah. There's no giving you will ever give except it's a giving that he's taught you. And so it would be the most act of miserliness, as he said, that we should remember him and not send salawat upon him. And so we intend from this time until the end of our lives that any smile we do remembering Allah for a good deed and every charity we do and any time we recite the Quran and any act of goodness that we do and any act of bravery we do for the sake of justice, that we intend that Allah gives all of this as an act of salat ala Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as an act of gratitude to his kindness, which we won't be able to repay. This is the journey of giving, and this is the month of giving, and these are the fruits of engaging the Holy Quran. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم يا فوز المستغفرين.